You may have noticed recently that likes and reactions have disappeared from Instagram and more recently Facebook. So what is this hoping to achieve? When Andre Rizzoyu, lecturer in computer science at the University of Technology of Sydney, joins us now to discuss. Good morning.
Good morning.
So where did the idea to hide likes seem come from?
So the idea is coming, it's probably stemming from an older study that takes place in the years 2000s where they were actually interested in looking how inequality comes to rise in cultural markets, say on iTunes or wherever products are on display and people tend to choose them. So researchers started looking at why inequality, as we know it exists, arises. So they performed a little study, and what they showed is that whenever you're showing the choices of people before you, you tend to be influenced. This is an effect which is well known, in which we tend to be influenced by what other people before us did. And this compounds more like a rate on your mortgage, and this compounds to give rise to a very unequal marketplace in which some products, in this case songs, dominate entirely all the other ones. So if we make the parallel with Facebook, if instead of songs, we have ideas and posts, and instead of downloads, we have likes, then you will get to understand that just by showing the number of likes, you are already biasing what people choose to what people choose to consume. So I guess this is where their idea came from.
And what does removing these reactions hope to achieve?
They are based on the music lab experiment. So if that is true, they are hoping to achieve a fairer market. On one side, a fairer market means that the ratio between the different players, again, the different ideas that flow on Facebook would be more equal. So you don't have one idea that takes all the space. And more predictable, which means it's more correlated to their quality. In other words, create a space for ideas in which good quality ideas and good quality posts and good quality content actually have a fairer chance of getting up on the popularity scale. And that's only from the point of view of the market itself. At the level of the user, it's been shown in my research community that just by showing these signals tends to create envy, tends to create pressure on content producers, meaning that when people post on Facebook, they usually think about how many likes they're going to get and not necessarily at the quality of the content they post. So it's a win-win in which also quality improves overall.
And so this has been introduced, as I mentioned earlier, on Instagram for a little bit longer. So is it clear how successful this has become?
These processes they take a long time to unfold. So even if it was a couple of months earlier, really in the time scale of how these processes occur, it's almost instantaneous. So we do not have data of how successful it has been on Instagram either. So you can basically say that it happens almost simultaneously on both platforms.
And why does it seem that now is a good time for Facebook and Instagram to take this approach?
Well, in order to answer this question, you first have to remember that Facebook, who owns Instagram, by the way, is a company. So they make most of the decisions they make are for their own profits and their survival. So what recently happened is that these big social networks, the companies behind the social networks, they came under a lot of pressure to rein into the content that flows into their platforms. They've been accused of proliferating hate speech, fake news propagation, and even Facebook particularly was accused of being part of hate towards minorities. We all know the disaster that happened in Myanmar and with the Rohingya minority. Facebook has been partially accused of having a play into that by not censoring and not controlling the content that flows on their platform. So to go back to your question, pressure has mounted enough for them to tell themselves, hey, we have to do something.
We're speaking with Marion-Andre Rizzoyu from the University of Technology Sydney about Facebook changing its platform to hide likes. And how influential can popular posts on Facebook be to the way we think?
One single post probably is not very important, but when we are surrounded by many of these influential posts, which I must remember that these influential posts, they tend to come not necessarily through their quality, but through these compounding effects. When we are surrounded by them, we tend to live in what is called a filter bubble. We surround ourselves with influential posts from people who think like us, and we are sort of shielded from content from, say, the other side, which leads to a polarization of our opinions. And if you just look around you, we see that we all have the feeling that we live in an increasingly polarized society. And the general feeling in the research community is that black social networks have a contribution to this polarization. So how influential is a single post? Probably not too much. How influential are a group of influencers to whom we refer always to get our content? Probably quite a lot, because they tend to shape our political opinions and how we perceive certain events.
Now, Facebook and Instagram are obviously two of the major players in social media, and often some of the more successful ideas do seem to get shared across the platforms or used across the platforms. So how influential could this be if it is seen to be a success across other similar social media platforms?
I'm not an expert in the marketing and in the design of the platforms, but I would suspect that if this change is deemed successful, it will get adopted relatively quickly on all the other platforms. So we might see things like the number of retweets disappearing or similar social signals from other platforms. And again, for the listeners who might get a bit worried there, when we say that the number of likes disappears, I mean strictly showing the number of likes under each post. If you want to know who liked a particular post, it's as simple as clicking on a drop-down menu and looking at the people. So the only difference is simply not showing a number under a post, not hiding the actual information.
And finally, how might we see Facebook further engage in improving their platform in this way, given the real-world ramifications that we've seen come from Facebook?
I don't have any insider knowledge in here, so I don't really know their plans. But if I am to look a bit on what the research community says, and in just simply following the later decisions of the Facebook's CEO, I would say that they are going to concentrate a lot more on detecting harmful content. I know that they already have dedicated teams to moderating hate content and cyberbullying, and they have been financing research around the world for automating this process. So in the latest round of Facebook grants, they have been particularly targeting the detection of hate speech and cyberbullying and harmful attitudes mainly towards minorities. And I'm a bit intimate with these details because we are also involved in doing this kind of research. So I would think that we will see changes down that track, which for the normal Facebook user are going to be completely transparent, because they are not going to be on the interface. They're rather going to be in the backstage. And again, for the normal user is just probably going to see just a bit more cleaner language. However, for those minorities at risk, it's going to make a whole lot of difference.
Well, Marion,
that's what I think.
Marion Andre, thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
Marion Andre Rizzo, you lecturer in computer science at the University of Technology, Sydney, speaking about Facebook hiding likes on its platform.